Hey everyone, welcome to the Compass Podcast. Today I've got a very exciting show. This is one I've really been looking forward to. I'm joined by Lee Bratcher and Nathan Nichols. We are going to be talking about the Texas Blockchain Council. If you are into Bitcoin mining in North America, no doubt you have been paying attention to what's going on in Texas, whether it's Governor Greg Abbott tweeting bullish about Bitcoin mining, or all of the talk about how Texas is becoming the mecca for Bitcoin mining in North America. So I'm excited to talk to Lee and Nathan today about what is going on down in Texas and what the Texas Blockchain Council is going to be doing to help progress the Bitcoin mining movement in the largest state in the nation. So without further ado, we're going to get over to this great conversation with Lee and Nathan. Hope you enjoy the show.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you do, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on your preferred listening platform. It really helps out the show. The Compass Podcast is presented commercial free by Compass, the number one Bitcoin mining marketplace. If you want to get started mining Bitcoin, source hard to find ASICs, or find competitively priced hosting space, then check Compass out at compassmining.io. And now, on to the show.
Lee, Nathan, welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, Whit, thanks for having us.
I am stoked for this talk. There is so much for us to talk about when it comes to all that is going on in Texas. But before we dive in, I'd love to just get quick intros from each of you so that all the listeners can know who you are. Lee, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, sure. Well, really appreciate you having us on the podcast. Excited to talk about Texas and what's going on here. I'm the president and founder of the Texas Blockchain Council, a nonprofit industry association working to make Texas a leader in blockchain innovation and Bitcoin mining as well. We've got four committees. The Texas Bitcoin Mining Committee is one of the four. And we also have several bills working their way through the legislature at the moment. We can talk a little bit more about those in a minute. We're a membership-driven association making Texas a leader in blockchain innovation. I'll pass it over to Nathan.
Hey, Whit. Glad to be back on the show again.
Welcome back, buddy.
Title's a little bit different today than it was the last time we talked. But I work with Lee. I am the chairman of the mining committee for TBC, and they're doing some incredible stuff there. Behind the scenes and I guess at the forefront of the Bitcoin mining industry, I'm a managing partner at Imperium Investments. Us, alongside my partners, have been in Bitcoin mining 6 or 7 years now. I'm the one that's been in it the least, but I'm excited to kind of take the mantle and try to move forward, expanding in Texas. And so I believe that we are probably the largest Bitcoin mine that is a stealth operation out in North America currently. And over the course of the next few months, we're really going to start coming into the spotlight and you'll hear a lot more about us. So I'm looking forward to showing that and all the positive things that we're doing with Lee in Texas.
Awesome. So, you know, Lee gave an overview of TBC, Texas Blockchain Council, and, you know, we're going to get into some of the initiatives there. Nathan, as the chairman for the mining committee, what's the overall mission for you guys as a part of the TBC?
Yeah, I think, we've been really lucky to have Governor Abbott, you know, since as early as 2014, publicly, you know, stating how Bitcoin is positive for Texas, is positive for the country, positive for job growth and stimulation. As you know, I think Texas is like 17 years in a row as the number one state to do business in. And so we are trying to educate people on things like grid stability, Bitcoin going green, how we can expedite that process through renewable energy, really explaining, you know, how we can have a positive impact. We can move, carbon emissions down more quickly by, bringing on cheaper sources of power and technology, which, you know, wind and solar is the cheapest from an overall kilowatt hour, megawatt hour perspective, and really just get, you know, the legislators to understand that Bitcoin is positive in all ways for this industry, for Texas.
So you mentioned a couple of things there that we certainly are going to have to talk about. Grid stability in Texas particularly is a hot topic after this winter. I think it was, what was it, 4 weeks that the majority of the state was without power?
I think it was. So it went kind of in two tranches and it overlapped a little bit. At least it did for me. So at the beginning, there was no power. And then at the end, there was no water. And then it all got back on. But yeah, I mean, happy to talk about that. Happy to talk about actually how, you know, Bitcoin miners really stood to help the community, you know, rather than I think some of the uneducated people assume, you know, what happens with Bitcoin mining.
Yeah. And I happened to be in a conversation with Representative Parker when that was all going down. I think it was actually just about 5 days rather than 4 weeks, but I could see the way the media blew it up. It seemed like it was 4 weeks, but I was chatting with one of our legislative champions, Representative Parker, during that time. And there were a lot of manufacturers in Texas that were really resisting going offline in order to save power for, you know, residential areas and hospitals and critical infrastructure. And to the credit of the miners in Texas, they immediately went offline. There was no issues with the state in regards to them going offline so quickly and really supporting residential areas in Texas to get back online more quickly. And that was not the case for all of the industries in Texas. So it was a really positive moment for the industry. And it did not go unnoticed by the governor and by several representatives in the legislature.
Now, you had mentioned, Nathan, that, you know, miners stood to benefit people. And I know that that, you know, stands in stark contrast to what a lot of people say about miners when it comes to consuming power and hurting the environment, air quotes. So what do you mean by that? What are the benefits that, you know, if there would have been more miners involved in the situation, that they could have provided?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously Bitcoin mining is an energy hog. There's no way around it. We all know it. But, you know, what we need to realize is being an energy hog isn't a bad thing necessarily, as long as you are doing it in the right and correct manner, which would be, you know, in the form of renewables. And so, you know, I stared at this ERCOT app on my phone for like every minute of every day during that 5 day period of time. But you have basically an amount of load that can be sourced, and then you have an amount of load that will be used, and you have these two intersecting lines. And when those lines happen, you're going to have basically rolling blackouts. With Bitcoin mining, and due to the decentralized nature of it, it can be interruptible. So if you're looking at, you know, the big data centers of the world, you need five nines of redundancy and you can't go down. And the reason why, you know, all of these data center companies or cloud computing companies care so much about the, you know, 5-9 repeating redundancy is because they stand to lose so much money if they are offline. With Bitcoin mining, I think you stand to lose, but you only stand to lose the profit for the time that you are offline. And also, it doesn't interrupt the network due to the decentralized nature, right? Whether it be in China, where we saw, you know, massive power outages that made the difficulty go down about 17% 2 weeks ago, or, you know, Texas making the difficulty go down about 5%. The network is fine. The transactions continued, right? And so because of that, you know, we were very proud at the mines that we have. You know, we got to turn off our power, and, you know, we got to reroute about 2 million homes worth of power back to the grid. And, you know, all of management was completely fine with that, right? That was an easy decision for us. And, you know, regardless of what the financial implications are, I know that, you know, there's been some talk about force majeure or, you know, acts of God or all of those different claims coming into play with, I think it was like $15 or $20 billion worth of energy that was being traded back and forth. But, you know, in our mind, and, you know, I think all the other Bitcoin miners, and I believe every single Bitcoin miner in Texas turned off and got to, you know, put that power back into the grid and make sure that, you know, people that were cold and they're, you know, we were in 20 or 30 degree temperatures got to keep their power on.
So now, from a legislative standpoint and from what you guys are doing with TBC, how are you helping to advise and inform the government of the benefits, you know, coming out of a situation like this?
Yeah, we actually get the privilege to go down to Austin and testify in front of legislative committees. We supply their staff members with resources, legislators' toolkits on blockchain technology, on Bitcoin, and the reception has been excellent. I mean, we had a bill that was working its way through the legislature in the last couple of weeks, House Bill 4474. We were down there with several board members from the TBC testifying in the Financial Services Committee. And by the time that we were done testifying, the bill was being authored by Representative Parker, and three other members of that committee jumped on as co-authors after the testimony. They were just so excited about it. And I'll tell you what that bill does. It's great for the Bitcoin mining community. We will be the second state in the country, if this bill passes, to define Bitcoin and virtual currencies. And we will also be clarifying what it means to control Bitcoin for the purposes of the Uniform Commercial Code and business law, what it means to control a virtual currency, and how do you perfect the security interest in a virtual currency in a collateral situation or a lending situation. So really important for institutions to get involved, really important for the Texas Uniform Commercial Code, just like the Wyoming Uniform Commercial Code, to state that control is achieved through possession of the keys. If multi-sig is present, then that's fine. It's just to control the majority. And you don't have to file a UCC-1 claim like you would for perfecting a security interest in a different type of asset. So really, really exciting stuff. That bill is actually in front of the legislature. It passed through committee 2 weeks ago. It's in front of the legislature for a vote today. In fact, I'm awaiting a text at any moment to let you know what might happen. And then it'll go in front of the Senate next week and hopefully be in front of the governor in the coming weeks, assuming things go according to plan.
So now how does the bill propose rather to classify Bitcoin?
So it classifies it as a virtual currency. We define it in a similar manner to how Wyoming defined it. We worked with Caitlin Long there. We worked with the Uniform Law Commission. Of course, we couldn't do everything the Uniform Law Commission wanted to do because, you know, they're still wrapping their heads around Bitcoin as well. We used some best practices from Wyoming. We combined it with the Texas Uniform Commercial Code and some specific things that are specific to Texas, and came out with some legislation that we think is really solid. It's actually was opposed by several lobbying groups and industry groups early on, and I can't say which ones, but I'll tell you that they're the ones that you would typically think of that would oppose this kind of legislation. But they, after we had several conversations with them, they came on board and actually they see the benefit of it as well. So
Lee actually did me a big solid as far as bringing a lot of the Texas Blockchain Council representatives and senators over to our mine that's basically in the middle of Texas. We got to show, you know, us alongside our site provider that we've created, you know, 130 to 150 jobs in this facility. These are well-paying jobs, $20 plus an hour, 401k benefits. For our companies specifically, we give complete, fully paid healthcare for all of our employees, the exact same healthcare package. Doesn't matter if you're making $40,000 or if you're making well over six figures. And it has just been incredible to see the blue-collar jobs of the future being created. And these are jobs that are not going to go away, right? So these are jobs in the industry that as you know, the kind of financial railroad tracks and rewiring and plumbing of the financial system gets reworked, these jobs, these are, you know, operations technicians, these are welders, these are plumbers, these are people that, you know, on trade schools are making $50, $60 an hour and are going back to their families. And it has just been incredible to see the reinvigoration of the economy that has happened, and specifically in Milam County. We you know, we're very blessed to have Judge Young come over, talk about how much incredible tax revenue has come into Milam County, and just some cool things that we've gotten to do as well. We got to put up a Christmas tree in Christmas. It was about a 40-foot Christmas tree full of lights. And, you know, I think it was a big signal of hope in this county, you know, where there was basically a chasm that was created, you know, one big business left about 15 years ago. So,
well, and I think, Lee, actually, when we had spoke, you mentioned the, you know, the judge's positive comments about Milam County and the impact that Bitcoin mining has had. Now, as that thought or feeling or sentiment reverberates through the state, are you guys starting to see yet other local leaders that are, you know, pushing to get Bitcoin miners in their counties?
You know, we are. It's partly an education process where we work with county judges and local officials. But the news is traveling fast, and Judge Young is an advocate And, you know, he's working with other county judges, 254 counties in Texas. Obviously, not every geography in Texas makes sense for Bitcoin mining, but a lot of them do. And ERCOT and the fact that Texas is on its own grid with dynamic energy markets is a huge boon to the state as far as Bitcoin mining goes. So it is an education process, but the word is spreading quickly.
Yeah, I would say from our side, you know, and we've been courted, our businesses have been courted in order to bring new jobs, you know, CapEx installments. I mean, Whit, you know, from Compass, it is, it's not cheap to build an industrial scale Bitcoin mine. And once you're there, it's real hard to leave if you're doing it the right way. So I think it's been really cool to watch, you know, over the course of the last year and a half. And, you know, people like yourself at Compass, you know, our site provider here in Milam County, Windstone, you know, these people have really taken the time to help the county, to be proud, to make people proud of the industry. And, you know, I think that Bitcoin miners, and yeah, I'm a little biased, but they get a bad rap. You know, I think that they're some of the most hardworking people that are out there. And it is a true job that takes, you know, American grit. It is a construction job. You know, in Texas, it's 90 or 110 degrees out. And in the summertime, and it's not easy, but it is an accomplishment to see 100 people working together on a job and it to be completed, and to see, you know, the revenue that is being generated and that trickling down to everybody that's a part of the business. And so, you know, I'm excited. I know that there is a lot to come. You know, the warm welcoming from Governor Abbott based off of, you know, some negative other, you know, political news that might have happened in other states right before that, you know, it was really welcoming and good signaling. Of course, we both are very proud to be Texan, and we're excited to see what we can do for the state.
You know, I thought it was really funny that Governor Abbott get a little shot across the bow same day that that New York came out with the proposed legislation to basically tank their Bitcoin mining industry, right? Look, that there is a lot of Bitcoin mining that goes on in New York. A lot of it is renewably powered. But this particular bill, I mean, man, it caught everyone off guard. It seemed, except for Governor Abbott, who was just ready. It's like he had that tweet ready to go, and he was just waiting for somebody to cue him up like that.
I just think, you know, there's, like you said, there's a lot of renewables up in New York. I mean, I think that they don't realize what they have. And I hope that they can be educated because they're actually doing a really great job. And this was, you know, hydro infrastructure that had already been created. It had already been pre-built and all of that stuff. And so I like the renewable angle that's up in New York. I just, you know, I'm hopeful that there's not an over regulation that happens up there. But, you know, going back to renewables for a second, though, I did want to make sure that we kind of explain the point of, you know, we are, you know, our companies under Imperium are, you know, really trying to push the green initiative. We are trying to, you know, go above 50% renewables and, you know, pass this one in the next couple of years. We'd like to get past 75 and 80% as well. But the cool part about Bitcoin mining is that it creates a demand for more renewables than right now. There has been a bottlenecking that has happened in renewables. I don't know if you've seen the Square article that Jack Dorsey and team put out there, but, you know, I'm seeing it firsthand where it is a double win, you know, for our infrastructure partner, because not only are we building new infrastructure alongside of them, we're also removing grid congestion, which allows for all of the other building that they have done to get back into being profitable and revenue generating. On top of all of that, though, you know, Bitcoin really serves as this energy and economic battery that, you know, say there was another snowstorm that happened, and Bitcoin mining continues to build, you know, there will be gigawatts of renewable energy, non-CO2 emission energy that's going to be built. And we can push that energy right back into the grid to make sure that that does not happen again. So I'm really excited to continue alongside with Lee on, you know, educating Texas on what we can do and all of the positive impacts, both financial, economic, and environmental that can come from it.
Yeah, as I was reading those articles, both the Bitcoin Clean Energy Initiative article from Square, and then also there's an article from the Harvard Business Review that was published recently by Nick Carter. There is a ton of renewable energy in Texas. Our grid is 33% renewables on good days. And, you know, Bitcoin energy uses renewable energy at twice the rate, twice the efficiency as an average grid user. So in other words, when wind is blowing and the sun is shining, you know, Bitcoin miners are humming, and they're able to put their intermittent usage out there at a geographic location that's close to those turbines and those solar panels. That's not the case. We can't move Dallas, Houston, or Austin, these big cities that consume a lot of power, closer to our renewable sources to limit those bottlenecks. But Bitcoin miners can. They can do that. And the potential here to fulfill some of these clean energy initiatives that Square was talking about is perfectly realized with the Texas context.
Well, no, I mean, it's clear that when it comes to the U.S. right now, and business, especially coming out of this time of COVID, right? There seems to be two clear winners and, you know, 48 some odd losers and, you know, which states you'd want to move to. And, you know, Mayor Suarez in Miami and Governor Abbott in Texas have both been loud and proud advocates of business, you know, talking about getting things open and getting people back to as normal as can be. Bitcoin mining lives in this world that is fairly remote, right? Like it's social distancing is kind of implied in Bitcoin mining. You know, most of the operations are under the radar. Generally, you're not working in close proximity with anyone else. So it also has that benefit of being a business that is, you know, a low contact kind of place. Does, you know, in this new era that we're coming into, as we're seeing this like new industry pop up, what are you guys doing at TBC to attract these outside entities into Texas, these potential large mining interests?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd say for on the economic side, you know, there has been a lot of initiatives, or I should say nods of approval, that have come from the governor's office. You know, there's a Bitcoin mine that's under the Texas data center tax abatement credit. So that's been really positive on kind of the sales and use and transmission taxes and all of those things. Also, you know, I think Texas is something like the eighth biggest economy in the world, if you were to put it against other countries. So, you know, it is inviting. It's, you know, by far the most business friendly environment to come here. And I think as long as you're putting your best foot forward, if you're caring about, you know, the local communities, and you're trying to make a positive impact for more ways than only being financially driven for the business itself, it already in itself, based off of the tailwinds that Governor Abbott and this legislature and Congress have given for this state, I think it and the, you know, positive no personal income tax that we all enjoy here in Texas, it, you know, it just kind of invites itself. And then it is our ability to do things like the bill that Lee and his team are trying to pass to continue to be forward pushing to create the initiative for future jobs. Because right now it is very obvious that we are already, you know, the booming state in this country. But how do we keep, you know, going? How do we stay number one here? And those are the initiatives that Lee and his team are creating.
Yeah. And we're excited about those initiatives. We're also very mindful of protecting those regulatory situations in which Texas finds itself a leader. There's been bills that have come up in this session that we have registered opposition to because of the effect that they could have had on Bitcoin mining, the industry at large. And I've texted Nathan and saying, hey, take a look at this. This could be really bad. And he says, yeah, we need to make sure that the legislators are aware of what this could do to you know, miners. So and that bill is not going to pass because once the legislators were educated and understood, they said, you're right, we're going to go back to the drawing board. And I want to highlight Representative Tam Parker, Representative Giovanni Capriglione for their leadership in this space, because they're, you know, they're legislators, but in their day jobs, they're both also businessmen. And so, you know, the Texas legislature is part-time. They meet in the legislature 6 months every 2 years. And for the rest of the time, they're doing their day job. And these guys know how business works, and they're putting forward sensible legislation on these fronts.
There's been a really good bipartisan support that I have seen in Texas for cryptocurrency and for blockchain initiatives. And part of the reason that I think, you know, Texas is doing so well is you know, you have this exodus that's coming from other states, coming from New York, coming from California. And, you know, I think personally that too far right or too far left gets nothing done. It's, you know, it's just divisive. And I think, you know, we've seen big political issues that have happened over the course of the last few years because of that. But, you know, I've been really appreciative living near Austin, close to Austin, seeing people that have come from a deep blue state, you know, come into a largely red state, you know, understanding that in coming into the middle, coming to an agreement, having bipartisan support, both economically and socially, is really how we're going to get things done in this country. And so I think it's been really cool to see, you know, Austin and Texas as a whole. And I say Austin because obviously it being the capital of Texas, really having an open-minded approach. I have not seen, you know, I've lived in all of these different states through the course of my career so far, and I have not seen more open-mindedness and warm attitudes towards forward thinking than I have in Texas.
So I got to ask, guys, like, this is something that comes up in, you know, polite and not so polite conversation, depending on who you're speaking with. You have this mass exodus out of California, right? And the two landing zones, if you will, are Austin and Miami. Both tend to be, you know, Texas as a whole tends to be, you know, more on the red side, let's say. And Miami, Florida, in general, Florida tends to go one way or the other, but it skews pretty close to the middle. So the conversation naturally evolves into, now that you've got all these blue staters coming in, how does this impact the future legislation that is going to be seen in country or in state? So what are your thoughts on this? I mean, does this potentially move Texas, and you could lump Florida in this, into, you know, more of the same direction as California?
I don't think it does. I think once they get here and they realize the business-friendly policies that the legislature has secured for the future of Texas, they're going to start to perhaps change their mind a little bit on where they view on the spectrum of economic freedom. And, you know, one thing that doesn't get talked about enough is we actually get a lot more done in state legislatures than we do in DC. You know, the legislature in Austin, the Democrats and Republicans work really well together on a majority of issues. You may hear about a few issues where there's disagreement, but the vast majority that may not make it into the news, they do work really well together. And they pass four times as many bills as bipartisan bills as DC, as Congress does. So in fact, two of the four authors that jumped on our House Bill 4474 Democrats. In fact, the chair, Rafael Anchia, Democratic chair of the Financial Services Committee, was very excited about it. And he works very closely with his Republican colleagues on this. So a lot more unity than you would think, I think, and definitely a lot more unity than we see in gridlocked Congress in D.C.
I think it does well also on educating both sides. You know, I'm standing by what I said on, you know, Texas legislators and Congress really being open-minded. One of the really cool ways about that is, you know, the green energy that's going on here. I mean, you're seeing from the red side resounding support of renewables. And a lot of people do not know that. They're thinking that, you know, the red side is just oil and gas, and that is not the case. So I think it's a really good mix of understanding, you know, socially having a more central approach in Austin, obviously left leaning. But I think overall, economically, there is still a central to right leaning, you know, let the people or in the business allow their money to go where they think it is best. And, you know, you are seeing the fruits of that coming through all of the job creation and job growth and the movement that's coming into Texas. So, you know, I think that people are looking at what has happened in other states versus what is happening here in Texas. And, you know, there's a lot of pride to keep it the way it is because it is working and people are happy. And people that are coming here, Texas, that have been here forever, you know, my business partners, their family has been here for 100 years, and they are open to people coming into Texas as long as they come in with an open mind and are educated and see that the reason that you're coming into their state is because of the policies that they've enacted over the course of the last 30, 40 years.
That makes total sense. I mean, you know, as you guys have mentioned, Texas is a great place to do business, ranked to be the best place for quite a long time now. And Americans are Americans. I think that's the one thing that is true, whether or not we sometimes move away from it. Left, right, you know, I think given the ability to like one another and support one another, we tend to choose that path. So it's really great to see and to hear from you guys that you think that this is, you know, this is the direction that things are going to move. I mean, we're in a society now that is more polarizing than it ever has been. But I don't think that that's actually what people feel. I think it's just what we hear all the time. And, you know, it's not really the case. So it's exciting to hear these positive things come out from, you know, people who are talking and interacting with legislators on a regular basis. To that end, guys, you know, as we get close to wrapping up here, I'd love to hear more about with Texas Blockchain Council. How can people get involved? Where can they find you? What can they do to support all that you guys are working towards?
You can find us online at texasblockchaincouncil.org. You can find us on Twitter. We are actively onboarding more member companies every day to the council. This is a membership association council. The more we grow, the more influence we have in Austin, and the more we're able to grow the influence of our members, which is key. We also make a lot of introductions as well. We bring people together that are looking for capital, or they're looking for miners, or they're looking for the right real estate deal, or the right power deal, or the right developer, or, you know, if it's an enterprise play, they're looking for the right company to work with. So we have a lot of those kinds of connections that we're making. And so we're looking forward to the next couple of weeks celebrating some legislative wins and then moving more towards that influence building business development piece that the council does well. And also a conference in the fall, which I'll tease now and put a announcement out in the coming weeks as far as when the date is. But we'll definitely be having a mining panel and Nathan will probably be in emceeing that panel if we can pull him away from the mine.
There we go.
Yeah. Love to be there. Love to talk. You know, I listened skeptically, if I'm being honest, of TBC probably for about 12 months and kind of was a fly on the wall and a wallflower, and got to see everything that they were doing and the initiatives that they were pushing through. You know, myself and my team, as well as Whit, you and your team. I mean, we really care about our reputations in the industry, and we want to make positive impacts. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're backing the right groups. And, you know, for all the miners that are out there, I can tell you that TBC is the right group. We're going to have a lot of probably the largest miners from an exahash basis in the country, you know, being on the committee alongside me. And we're going to make sure that, you know, we are educating legislators and Congress on, you know, all of the positives that come from this industry and what we can do for all of the families that are in these rural areas. And a lot of these mines, you know, are in qualified opportunity zones, and we're going to reinvigorate those economies. So, you know, I'd love for the miners, the big miners and the small ones to, you know, come join us and energy providers and, you know, really show where we're going and the industry that we will be building for the next 40, 50 years. So really excited to do that alongside you guys.
It's fantastic. And as Compass, we're excited to be a part of this and to help move the needle, right?
Absolutely.
You know, when you guys reached out to us about TBC, it's exciting because obviously there needs to be positive voices in the government. Fortunately, now I think we've kind of crossed that threshold where legislators are more open to learning about Bitcoin and blockchain, and they see some practical applications. And frankly speaking, they're impacted by the way that the Federal Reserve is printing money, just like everyone else, right? So I think they are more apt now than ever to really get a grasp on what is going on with Bitcoin. And you know, look, it's one of those situations where if you ain't first, you're last at this point. You can't be the lagging state to figure this out, because you're going to lose all of the opportunity to the states who are the first movers now. And let's be real here. I mean, Texas is warm the majority of the year. You got beaches. Like, if you're looking at a state where you want to settle and raise a family, it's not a bad place, right? You got basically all of the good stuff to go along with the good business. So it's a pretty easy sales pitch to make if you're a founder that's currently living in, you know, the rural Midwest or upstate New York. It's not a hard trek to make. All it takes is about one winter to realize you don't want to do that anymore. So I'm really thankful that you guys are able to come on the show so we could talk about all this. And I'm looking to see where this all goes, right? It's very important for the industry. So thanks for coming on and chatting with me today, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Whit, as always.
Thanks, Whit.
That's a wrap for us at the Compass Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe and consider leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. Thanks again, everyone. The thoughts and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Compass Podcast are their own and do not represent the opinions of Compass Mining, Inc. None of this content should be considered financial advice.